Our reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you want to follow it and you're using a pew Bible, you can find it on page number 1155. So it's 1 Corinthians 15, reading from verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ, the first fruits, then, when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. It's nice to be speaking, but knowing that I'm just chatting with family and friends, it doesn't really feel like preaching a sermon. I hope not. It's just exploring something together. You know, we're on a journey of faith, and we're doing that together. So today, I hope that we're just speaking together as friends and family. And when John was talking to the children about Gift Sunday and why it was Gift Sunday, I was thinking about Elaine, who is discerning whether to be a minister, and you'll see her around with John sometimes. And she is spoke on the gift of loss. And it sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? But if you haven't heard that message, it's online and it's definitely worth listening to. So I'd encourage you to listen to that if you haven't heard it. One thing I'm really glad about is the team that I'm part of. And one in the team imparted some of their knowledge to me this week. So I was really surprised to find out this is the last Sunday of the year. But you probably all know that. Any nods of heads? Yep. And next Sunday is the first Sunday of the year, the first Sunday of Advent. And this Sunday is actually known as Christ the King Sunday. And the whole thing about this Sunday is we're asking God to stir up our wills to do the good works that he's called us to do. So in this current age, when feelings are often the thing that govern our actions, and that's not saying that feelings are bad, they're a good thing, but what we actually need to govern our actions is our will. So this might help us today, as we're looking at this subject, what's different about a Christian funeral? It's not an easy subject to talk about, or to think about even. We don't like facing our own mortality. So it's a tricky thing. But with the help of Christ our King, let's look at this final part of our earthly journey. Because of Christ our King, this should be a message of hope, not of despair. I'm sure you've heard folks say, oh, that was a great funeral. And what do they mean? Do they mean they heard lots about the person and they were really encouraged by that? Do they mean they found comfort in what was said, in the words of Scripture? They liked the music. It touched their heart in some way. It might be any of those things, or it might be something else. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about two funerals that I've been to. One was my friend's baby. He only lived for 67 hours. Their testimony of God's goodness and thanksgiving to God were extraordinary. Some of you might be sitting here and you've lost a baby, or you've lost a child, or you know someone who has. Were they brokenhearted? Yes, they were. Devastated. Were they full of questions? Why did Eli die? Why didn't God heal him? In all their pain and questioning, they felt loved by their church, their family, and their friends, but most importantly, by God. And they knew the hope of death not being the end. The other funeral was of a former colleague. Her name was Angie. She died leaving her husband and teenage daughters. Death affects us all, not just the old, but the young too. I remember coming away feeling the deep and transforming love of God as the funeral was all about God and his faithfulness to Angie and her family. I was struck by the peace I saw in their lives. It was exceptional. Did it mean they weren't deeply sad? Did it mean they weren't struggling? No, it didn't. They were doing those things. They were struggling, and the thought of her loss and not having her around must have been very difficult. But they knew with assurance that God was with them, she was with God, and that death was not the end. This is the difference we experience in Christian funerals. Knowing God and the assurance this brings that death is not the end of our journey. Johnny read to us from 1 Corinthians 15. And in those first verses, it talks of Jesus' resurrection. The foundation of our Christian faith is Jesus' death and resurrection. Without that, we have no hope. We're assured that Jesus will overcome all enemies, including the final enemy, death. We consider our death in light of our life. Just as life with Christ is different than life without him, so it's true of death. In life, our faith means that we've agreed Christ died for us. Because of our acceptance of this, our sins are forgiven and we're assured of eternal life, a life after death with Christ in heaven. This is good news, especially for those of us that feel we're further down that line towards death. If we agree that Christ is the King in our life, we will want our death and our funeral to be filled with this hope, the hope of the resurrection. We will want those we know and love to know this hope and assurance that death is not the end. This hope is the key difference in a Christian funeral. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope." Remember my colleague Angie, whose family were an example of this. Those who have no faith have little hope of anything after death. Death is sobering, and when we're faced with it, we're faced with what our beliefs are. Do we believe in the resurrection? Do we believe in life after death with Christ who died for us? As a nurse, I was always struck by the fact that when someone died, they just didn't look the same. It was like a shell you were looking at. Not the person at all. One moment they'd be breathing with their heart beating, and the next minute they were gone. I know that their spirit had gone, and that had all that was left was that earthly container, the body. For us who know Jesus, and if we know that person followed Jesus, it gives us hope of their spirit's destination. That hope is the difference in a Christian funeral. The message of that hope, clearly communicated through Scripture, through the testimony of our life, that's a bit of a scary one, isn't it? The testimony of our life. We need to think about that. But I'm encouraged because even though I sin and fall short of the glory of God, if I come to Him and ask Him for forgiveness, He'll forgive me. And I know I can carry on. And for me, that's kind of a daily process. I don't know about you. How do you feel? Isn't it good to know that when we do things that are not the best, that we haven't loved someone the way we know Jesus would want us to, that we can come and ask His forgiveness when we fall short of what we want to be for Him? We can come and ask for His forgiveness and know that we will receive it. The message of hope can also be reflected in the music and hymns we choose at funerals. These can reflect the joy and the hope experienced by us. A Christian funeral can provide a picture of heaven, where we will be reunited, where the bonds of love will be stronger than they were on earth. It's this hope that is like a balm to soothe the pains of grief as we are temporarily separated from our loved ones. It's when we look forward to our new home with Christ in heaven, with no pain or suffering, where we'll see our loved ones again and worship God with them forever, that our tears will be stemmed. This picture is a celebration of the joy of the truth of the gospel and the hope that we have. I remember when my mom was approaching the end of her life, how radiant she looked and unafraid. Now, that was a real change for her because she lived quite anxiously, although she hid it well. But she knew the peace and assurance that knowing God brings. I felt a real comfort from that, knowing that she was going to heaven. My dad, on the other hand, he hung on. He didn't want to go. Did he have something he wanted to say? Something he wanted to sort before he went? I don't know. I'll never have the answer to that this side of heaven. But it was hard watching him. You know, at times I could share faith with my dad, and on one occasion he said he always felt there was somebody looking after him. And I was able to reflect back that I thought that was God. and that God heard his cry, I really hope that in his final moments he called out to God and that God heard his cry and that we will be reunited in heaven. For those that are in the guild, you'll know that they're looking this over the next 3 years at one journey, many paths. This year, the subtitle is Seeking the Way. I'm really thankful to my parents for encouraging my faith, even though I don't think they were really believers at the point that they were sending me to Sunday school. I think it was a nice way of them having peace on a Sunday. They sent all the kids to Sunday school. I don't know. But I'm thankful that they did it anyway. And to many others in my journey through life who were not afraid to tell me the truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I think I spent my childhood searching and seeking. And it was suddenly I remember that eureka moment when I was studying to be a midwife, that it all fell into place. I find it interesting that in my journey, seeking God and seeking to be born again, that I was learning how to bring new life into the world. And it's an amazing thing when new life comes into the world. You can't describe it. Those of you who've experienced know, it's an incredible thing. And that's how God feels when we give our life to him and we start a new life as a Christian. The way we seek and find God will be different for each of us. Some of you might feel you've always believed. There's never been a time when you can't think that you didn't know God. Others of you will have different stories to tell. So I'd like to encourage you to share your stories with each other. Encourage your faith. But I'd also like to encourage you to share your faith with others, those that don't yet know what it's like to follow Jesus. Just as acknowledging our faith in Jesus is important in life, it's also important in our parting. He's the center of our life and the reason we have our being. So when others come to say goodbye at our funeral, my hope is that they'll hear about our journey in faith, the reason for the way we lived our lives, and the fact that death has been conquered by Jesus and his resurrection. Our funeral should generate hope. We do want to hear about the person's life, but we also want to hear about the promises of God. It's an opportunity for our family and friends to hear the gospel and the hope of the resurrection. Some of us may have all our family who are Christians and who know God. Others of us keep praying for our family in the hope that they will become Christians. And our funeral is a time when we can share that with friends and family. Death is a temporary separation until we're united in heaven. While we're heartbroken, hope remains. And John talked about hope to the children and what it is. It can help those who don't believe, yet that there is hope in God we love and believe in. In John 14, take comfort from these words of Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place to where I am going. Jesus will come for us. We don't need to be afraid, although sometimes we do feel afraid about how we're going to face death. Our loved ones will hopefully know we're in safe hands. We're with Jesus in heaven, and also that we will meet again. On Friday this week, Nancy McMurray passed away. And she's with Jesus, and that's a glorious thing for her. But I know her family will mourn her passing, and many of you who knew her will be missing her too. But we will be reunited. Death is not the end. In this secular age, so many folk are without faith and hope for the future. And if you listen to the news, you would think there is nothing hopeful in the world at all. It's all doom and gloom and bad news. Many people have secular naming ceremonies, civil weddings, and funerals conducted by celebrants and humanists. Let's pray that those who are lost and without faith will find hope in the saving message of Jesus and know the hope that death is not the end. Father, we thank you for the hope we have in you. Although we mourn the loss of those we have loved, we know that you've removed the sting of death. Death is not the end. You have overcome death and promised eternal life. Amen.